Happy feast day. Woohoo! Mother Mary, she's awesome. And I love to pray in front of that rose window over at St. Mary's, that big rose window. It's probably one of the most beautiful windows in the diocese. And of course, that is actually the image of this feast day, the Assumption of Mary. The angels are carrying our Mother Mary up into heaven and to be received by our Lord. And so this is a great day. And it might shock many of you, but what we believe in Mary, the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption into heaven, and the coronation of Mary in heaven, we just read it here in the New Testament reading in the book of Revelation. It's in the Bible. It's right there. And so when we look at this in the Bible, book of Revelation, at the end of the chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12, see, a lot of times we end at the end of the chapter 11, then we don't read anymore. Okay, I'm done reading this chapter. Or we take off from chapter 12, and we don't read that last verse before chapter 12. And so this kind of gives a little bit different perspective of what. Let me read it to you the way it should be read, which is actually right here. Normally, we read it as a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. That's how we start off chapter 12. But now let me read that verse before, including chapter 12 and how it should really read. God's temple in heaven was open. The Ark of the Covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. So you start to see how this Ark of the Covenant, the new Ark of the Covenant, holding the God, the Word of God in flesh. You see, the old Ark of the Covenant held the Word of God in stone, the Ten Commandments, and the Sacred Scriptures, the scroll. That was the Word of God, but now in Mary, in her womb, is the Word of God in flesh. And in Old Testament times and in Old Testament standards, nothing impure ever went into the Ark of the Covenant or even dared to touch the Ark of the Covenant. In the Old Testament, when David was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, a man touched the Ark of the Covenant and died on the spot. I don't know if he died of ecstasy or terror, but I like to think he died of ecstasy, touching the Ark of the Covenant. If the Ark of the Covenant that held the Word of God in stone, that wasn't pure, and everything that went into the Ark of the Covenant in stone had to be utterly pure, how much more the living Ark of the Covenant, Mary? And so in that we see Mary is the chosen one. Now, many people might say, she wasn't Mary. Mary wasn't chosen. Oh, God went around, wondering, I got to find some woman to carry my child. Oh, dear. Oh, could you hold my baby Jesus? No. Oh, no. I got to find somebody else. What will I do? God doesn't do that. When we look at about in our own lives, were you not chosen to live? God chooses you to do things. Look at the people in your lives. Your spouse, your parents. Tell me, is there somebody that can really replace those shoes? God chose your parents for you. God chose your children to be born for you. Nobody can replace you because you have been chosen. God has a destiny and a plan for you. And what am I supposed to say? Well, everybody of all time has a choice and has a plan. God has a plan for everybody, but not Mary. Mary's the only one that doesn't have a plan. That's crazy. That goes against the nature of who God is and how we know God. God is particular, and so Mary was chosen. And so she is the Immaculate Conception. She was preserved from sin at the moment of conception. It was by God's doing, not Mary's doing. And then because of that, and Mary chose not to sin her whole life, she is assumed into heaven. As we read on in the book of Revelation, here is the assumption into heaven and the coronation of Mary, all in one verse. Her child was caught up to God in his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert, where she had a place prepared by God. There's a special place in heaven for Mary. So she is taken body and soul into heaven because her body would never see corruption. When we look at the book of Genesis and how God created us male and female, and we're created for life, and it wasn't until that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree that death came, hence corruption. So sin entered into the world, and sin entered into us. Mary was preserved from that sin. And so no corruption would ever touch her, because she participated in what Adam and Eve participated in before the fall. All by God's doing. And that's the great grace we have. Because Mary, through the power of God, was taken body and soul into heaven, hopefully what that does is it brings us hope. Because if he has the power to do that for Mary, and he chooses her the way he chose her, how will he choose us? And if he can do that to Mary, take her into heaven, he most definitely can do that for us. Through Mary, Jesus received his body. The genetic code that Mary had, Jesus had. That's an awesome thing to think about. Can you imagine that? And you start to see why Elizabeth, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, would say, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But who am I that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" That is so awesome. And it was the jealousy of the angels, how the devil fell because he was jealous of how God took on human flesh. He didn't do that with them. He didn't do that with the angels. He did that with us because he saw our plight. He saw what misery we are, and in his mercy and in his love, he came down to us. And this is a great mystery. Even the angels are in awe of the love that God has for us. In a certain sense, it perplexes them. But the angel said, "It is good. I don't understand it, but it's good." And so they serve us. And now Mary is made the greatest of all creation, and is no longer Lucifer. She is the pinnacle of all creation, a creature, but the pinnacle of all creation. And get this, she's our queen, and she's our mother. In this dual role that Mary plays for us, she has the power to intercede for us as queen of heaven and earth. And as mother, she will do it. And this is why today is such a great solemnity, that we can go to our Mother Mary in confidence, to know that as our mother, She will be begging our Lord Jesus for whatever gifts we need. And as queen, she has the power to do that. We have a powerful advocate. We need to learn to run to her much more often than we do. We go out in the world and we forget that we have our Lord Jesus, that we have such a great, compassionate mother. We need to remind ourselves that whenever we take that rosary up in hand, Mother Mary is there taking our hand, leading us to our Lord Jesus Christ, asking for mercy for us. We have such a great advocate. We have such a great mother that cares for us. And to deny that mother would be like denying our own earthly mother. Imagine that, going to your mother, I don't believe you're my mother. I don't believe it. No. That's silly. Jesus gave us our mother, and she is always there for us. Pray to her. You might experience the love she has. It doesn't hurt. She is such a great person to have. Through all of time of Christianity, there was a devotion. Since St. Luke and St. John took care of her. The earliest song we know of, the Salve Regina. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordiae. It's the oldest song we know of in the church. Started in the 300s, possibly the 200s. That's pretty early. That's the Hail Holy Queen in English. Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. That prayer is ancient. And for all of time, people have sung it, people have said it, people have prayed it, giving themselves to the protection of our Mother Mary. Today we should do the same.